This afternoon I got something there. The Lord spoke to me. And let's go to Ephesians 4:15. And I think my crew back there has got my notes. I'm reading from the King James Bible. We're talking about spiritual growth. When you talk about spiritual growth, people conjure up all kinds of ideas. What that might mean. And spirituality, that word has been thrown around lots over the years. Spirituality sounds really cool. And we need to be spiritual. We need to have reality too, in this reality. Because you can't just all be spiritual. And you can't all be natural. There's a natural side of life and there's a spiritual side of life. And you know what? The spiritual side of life is more real than the natural side. The spiritual side is eternal, and the natural side is just short term. So do you find Ephesians 4:15? And let's read the King James Version. It says up here, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." As an introduction, we want to say spiritual growth is an essential requirement for every believer. It's not an option. It's not automatic. It's essential for everyone to develop spiritually just as much as you're going to grow intellectually. If you're going to carve yourself a nice body, physique, you go to the gym and do different things, and educate yourself on an intellectual level, you need all those areas. So spiritual growth is essential. It's a requirement for every believer. There's not one in here that, you know, should be not thinking about it. We all have to do something for our development so we can carry out God's plans and His purposes for our lives. It's time that we need to get serious. And, you know, this is a new year. It's time to get serious about our inner growth, our spirit, our minds. It's time to renew our minds, get a plan. So, in order to be effective in life, we have to be spiritually charged up, spiritually attuned. And as we mentioned, spiritual growth is something that's not automatic. It doesn't spiritual growth doesn't happen because you live a long time as a Christian. It doesn't happen because you come to church. It's not automatic because you come every week or every Wednesday. And that helps. It encourages you. But there's more to it than that. And so we need to take steps. We need to take steps to ensure ourselves that we're going to grow. So the question is, what is spiritual growth anyway? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, to verse 8. We're looking at the Amplified Bible. I read different versions because you get a different perspective on, a different area. Because if you say sometimes you say something, and if you say it another way, somebody else might not understand you, but somebody else comes along and they say something, it kind of makes it more colorful and more meaningful at some time when we use everyday language. And so if you have 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 8, Amplified Version, it says, "Have nothing to do with irreverent folklore or silly myths. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." Well, godliness means, you know, it just means, refers to living for God. Everybody say living for God. So that's what it means. Keeping yourself, notice this, keeping yourself spiritually fit. For physical training is of some value. Well, thank God it has value. Anybody have a New Year's resolution that you're going to get more in shape? Nobody in here. I'm going to have to come visit you. Well, I was at the gym just before supper at my house. So I went to the gym for an hour and 15 minutes or something like that, and then I went home. But I made sure I ate before I came. Sometimes I don't eat because, you know, you don't have time to. But it's valuable to me. It's something that I value. I've done it ever since I was a kid. I've always had physical activity. And in fact, it was good for me because I was what they call ADD. They didn't call it ADD when I was a kid. They call you a bad kid. That kid at Roma is always climbing. And so my nickname was Monkey. So I would climb everywhere and just climb on trees, climb on top of the house. My parents were looking for me. Where is he? Oh, he's on the pinnacle up here. So that's what they gave me that name. So for physical training is of value, but godliness, spiritual training is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds the promise for the present life and for the life to come. So spiritual growth has value for right now. But it also has value in the other life. You know, you go to the gym, or you study. It's only good for this life. It's not good for the other life. So spirituality goes beyond this life into another realm in heaven. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, the King James Version says, therefore we must give more earnest heed. That sounds very urgent. Earnest heed to the things we have heard. How many people, you come to church Wednesday, you come to church on Sunday, you hear something and it's been beneficial for you. It says we must give earnest heed. We must begin to even grab a hold of the Word of God and begin to even value it even more. Why? Because lest we drift away. And there's people who have drifted away from their spirituality, from their Christian life, from the life of God. They go into a different way. And they lose what made them, you know, what made them who they are as a man and woman of God. And they walk away from the things of God. How many people know that you can't, if you just decide right now that I'm going to stop doing the things, I'm going to stop reading my Bible every night or every day, I'm going to stop praying, I'm not going to go to church, I'm not going to fellowship with Christians, with like-minded faith, and then I'm going to just going to go and just live as carnal as I want to. I'm going to drink wine if I want to. I'm going to smoke pot if I want to. If I want to sleep with somebody, if I feel like sleeping with somebody, I'll go sleep with somebody. I'll just watch whatever I want to watch. I could go on here. Should I go on? Well, you know what I'm talking about. But you make that decision. I want to tell you something. It's easier to make a decision to go into that, but it's harder coming back. And sometimes people get out there too far away and they can't come back. They lose the taste. In fact, I read in Hebrews, it says that sometimes, you know, people, they get away from the things of God and they reject God. And they can't come back. And in fact, I'm glad you're here tonight because you all want to come back. Well, if you're feeling guilty, you want to come back, then you're still in. But there's some people who lost. They're lost and they're not going to come back. They used to be. The scripture says in Hebrews that they tasted the good word of God. They operated in their gifts of the Spirit. They prayed in tongues. They did all that to renew them again. Till repentance is no more. And so this is a very scary, scary place to be. Now, if you're one of those people that believes that once I'm saved, you're always saved, you better read some more scripture. Don't take your born-again experience or come to Jesus, you know, as something insignificant. It's very valuable. So begin to look at that. So don't drift away. Don't drift away from your spirituality. Let's look at another scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. This is along the same line of drifting away. Now, sometimes in church, you do drift away. you're somewhere else, you're in China, but you're sitting here. Don't go to China today. Okay, let's go ahead and read. I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, but you must continue. Everybody say, I must continue. He said, to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. For the good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. So there's a second scripture that tells us that we should be careful to not drift away. We can't drift away from the things of your spiritual life, and you can lose your spirituality. It's not too late to make changes. And we're talking this way because, you know, it's 2020. They say 2020 is about having a good vision. Praise God. I don't know if somebody told you about that, but Psalm 37:31 says, for the law of God is in his heart. No one, not one of his steps will slip. That's good, eh? So we're not going to drift away and let things slip. But when you put the word of God in your heart, you're not going to slip. So you must be careful, be diligent every night to read your Bible. We've given you, I think we've encouraged you to read your Bible. Now, in 1998, when I went to Rhema, I'm going to say, when I went to Rhema Bible Training Center or Bible College, you know, I went to different institutions. I was in a college, a Confession College, for a couple times. I graduated from different programs there. And then I went to university, Lakehead University. I graduated with a couple of degrees there. Then I went to a University of Manitoba, and I gained more experience there. I went to graduate school. Then I studied theology, and I do have a doctorate in theology. The most significant education I ever received was going to Rhema. Spending 2 years sitting under Dr. Hagin and learning about the Bible. That was the most impactful time of my life, sitting in that auditorium listening to Brother Hagin and all the teachers. And I have a ring. People ask me, what's that ring about? I said, oh, that's my hockey ring. When I finished the NHL. They said, oh, yeah, really, yeah. I said, yeah, it's a Native Hockey League. I said, I kind of joke around, you know. But I said, no, it's a Bible school. It's very, very valuable. So I put this on when I graduated almost 20 years ago. It'll be 20 years ago this spring that my wife and I graduated. We're going to our alumni, what is it called? Luncheon this February at Rhema. So it'll be 20 years, our celebration, 20 years this year. So we're going to be traveling to Tulsa to celebrate that, sit down with the Hagins, and have a good meal with the other people that are. Some people that I've been traveling there for years, and I think maybe one or two people that I've seen in my year that graduated. And there might have been some other people. I probably don't ever recognize them now. Because, you know, 20 years, you can lose hair. You can get larger. Some people say they got a larger ministry. You know, they got maybe, you know, 50 more pounds, so they're growing their ministry. And so I'm trying not to grow mine too much. So they have a very large, large ministry. So I value that. I value the teaching. I value what they told me. I value what Brother Hagin told me. I listen to Brother Hagin. I don't listen to him as much as I used to. I listen to maybe Keith Moore more than ever, any other preacher in the whole world. I listen to pastors and teachers that I feel that are solid men of God, and I value my spirituality, that I want to grow. I continue to do that. I probably do more of spiritual stuff than any other thing in my life besides watching hockey games. I do a lot of that. And so there was a point in all this thing I'm saying here. So we'll come back to that point. So spiritual growth, what is it? It's training. It's training and development for your born-again human spirit. See, we have a physical body. Our physical body is just temporary. So the body you have, your body, everybody touch your body. See, your body, that's not the real you. So you could dress it up and color it and mark it up and whatever, dress it up and so on. But this is only the vehicle that you travel in this world. But your spirit on the inside of you is the real person. And your soul is not your spirit. See, your spirit and your soul are two different things. So your soul is not saved, so you have to, it's not renewed, so you have to renew that soul. That means you have to renew your thinking, learn how to control your feelings, make correct actions. Those happen as we study the scripture, stand on the principles and walk on the things of God. But our spirits are new. When you got born again, you came to Jesus, your spirit is brand new. From that day forward, you have to do something with your spirit. You have to grow it, develop it. And so I value my spirituality. How about you? I'm going to tell you why. Because in 1998, our pastor's wife, Lynette Hagen, gave every one of the students a one-year Bible. And she said, I encourage you to read the Bible every day. So since 1998 until today, my wife and I, before we go to bed every night, she puts on her light, and I put on my light and go to bed. We read the Bible every day. Sometimes we've missed. Sometimes I fall asleep, whatever, but sometimes I'll even miss several days. But I get back on, I try to catch up at least to where I'm supposed to be, because sometimes you get so busy, you're on the road doing something. But I read the Bible every single day. So I value the Word. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is I read something from the Bible. Why? Because of my spiritual growth. I want my mind to think straight in the morning. I don't want the first thing that happens to me affect me that it'll set off my day in the wrong foot. So I listen to different preachers in different segments and different areas that I want to grow in. Say if I want to learn about, you know, faith. If I want to learn about spiritual growth, I'll listen to stuff on that. Like if you go to the gym, if you want to work on your legs, you go to do leg exercises. If you want to work on your shoulders, you do shoulders exercises. If you want to lose weight, if you want to gain weight, there are different things you do in the Bible, in the gym, different techniques. So with spiritual growth, you do the same thing. If you're weak in certain areas, begin to look at the topics that you need to grow in. If you're a father, you want to be a better dad, learn about what fathers are supposed to do from the Bible. If you're having trouble in relationships, find out and read those things in the scriptures that tell you how to be a good relational person. If you're unfaithful, if you've been disloyal, how to find out how to be a loyal person, read those scriptures and find out what it says. Listen to somebody who knows about that. You wouldn't just listen to anybody. You all have your favorite places to eat, or you just eat anywhere, or eat anything. Somebody's knocking over here. I've heard this morning, somebody's calling me from Kenora, Ontario. I'll just tell them, listen, I'm on my way. I'm going there in 2 months. Must be one of our disciples. Okay. It's telling me something different here. But anyway. So after someone comes to Christ, there is a necessity of feeding and adopting a way of life that will enhance our spiritual growth. Spiritual growth of a person depends on the individual's ability to read, meditate, and act on the truth which they discover from the Word of God. Time does not equate growth, but it's exercising of one's heart from hearing the Word of God. So spiritual growth is not something that's going to happen to you automatically because you just show up here. You have to do something. Like you could go to an exercise class, and you could show you videos on how to exercise, you know, what to do, what to eat. Then you go home and say, wow, what a wonderful seminar, but you don't do any of the stuff they told you. You know, I found that, you know, in exercising, you have to do it again. The exercise I did yesterday, t- today, I'm going to have to do some more again next day. It doesn't stay with you forever. You ever notice that? How many people notice that if you go and eat, you want to eat again? Eh? You ever notice that? You just say, oh, I ate last week. That's all. I don't want to eat anymore. No, you're going to go eat again, right? So by the way, we're having a conference, Spirit of Life conference. We've got a number of speakers coming. We got them from the east and the west and the north. Speakers coming in, different ministers of God that are in the Spirit Alive kind of range type of people. So we're going to have a conference here. We're not sure if it's going to be just 3 days. It might be 4 days. It might be 5 days. We're working on it. I'm going to have the SALT people from Oswego. They're going to be coming to sing with us, lead the music and praise. And Ray Martell is coming back. How many know that big Ray Martell? Well, he's coming in. Anybody know Alan O'Soup? There's one person. He's from the plains. He's a plain guy. So I talked to the Alan O'Soup, the cream man. He's coming to speak at the conference, and of course we're going to get the young Kettle Point kid, Murray Shano. He's coming in as well. So we're going to have a different gang coming in. We're going to get rid of all the old guys that used to come. I'll be the only old guy left. You got to have some experience. So we're going to have a great time. So it's going to be April 1, 2, 3 for now. But we're going to look at some more time. So anyway, that is a paid political announcement. No, it's not a paid. It was a Christian announcement by Kenneth Hagin Ministries. So don't neglect your spirit. Don't neglect your spirit, your inner man. Don't neglect your spirituality. We've all heard of development of man's intellect, of the mind through academic education. We also have understood the necessity of training our physical bodies through exercise. But the majority of time, we have neglected our spirits. Particularly in these last days, it's extremely important to train and educate our inner man, our spiritual man. When one fails to grow up in his or her spirituality, there's not only hardships that await them in life, but also there are failures in terms of following the plan of God for their lives. You cannot live a carnal life and actually follow God the way it's supposed to be designed. So if you're unhappy in life, it's because you've gone off track. If you don't have peace in your life, you've gone off track. If you don't have any joy in your life, you know, joy is the strength of your life. If there's no joy in your life, if you have to take something to get joy or that, you know, buzzy feeling, if you don't have any joy in what you're doing, you're in the wrong place. Somebody said over there, you know, we used to teach at the college for a number of years. We taught adults how to find careers for themselves. And we pick up all these sayings. Find something like you want to do, that you love to do, and you'll never work a day in your life, somebody said. Because you love to get up in the morning and show up at work. You get to work with people, get to do things you love to do. Because your value systems matches what you do every day. It's significant, it's important for you to go to work every day. It makes you feel that you're doing something worthwhile. And you don't forget your skills, and your skill sets should match what you're doing, and your interests should be matching what you're doing. You're also your personality. You know, like we tell people sometimes, you know, you take some, there's people like to eat or work with things. Some people hate to work with things. Some people like to work with people only. Some people hate to work with people. They said, I love my job, but I hate people. And some people like to work with just, you know, figures and numbers and stuff like that. And so, but you have to figure out where are you supposed to be ending up? And if you can find that, that's wonderful. You could enjoy life a whole lot better. You know, life is not just like, I mean, it means a lot to get up and go to work tomorrow and get a paycheck, but life is more than the paycheck. If you hate your job every day, statistics tell us that when people hate their jobs, they end up dying early for some reason. I know it's not funny, but I hope you don't hate your job. Anyway, so some people have neglected their spiritual life, they neglected to train themselves, educate themselves in these areas. So a failure to develop in our spirituality is a failure to follow God's plan. You see that in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. When we fail to renew our mind, see, your mind is only good to the point that it's renewed in the Spirit, in the Word of God. Your mind can only help you when your mind has been educated in God's plan and His Word. But if your mind is just plain carnal, like if you just pick a job just for the money, we all want money. If you just do things just for money alone, you can be very unhappy. I was watching a documentary or something the other day. There's a man, a billionaire, making so much money. He made a mess of his life. Just recent time, within the last 4 months, he died in jail. A billionaire. He can fly anywhere in his life, buy anything he wants to buy, and ends up dead in this jail cell. They don't know if he killed himself or somebody killed him. But, you know, it's not all money. We love money, or we like to have more money, but it's not everything. Money's not everything. So you know people who it's not all fame either, because a lot of you are famous for the wrong things. It's not all about fame. That would be infamous. So let's redefine spiritual growth, or at least redefine spiritual growth. Some people have strange ideas about spiritual growth and how to develop their inward man. Some have defined it to mean something far different than what the Bible says. So here's what it means for our discussion. Because for you it might mean something else, but for us, for this teaching, this is what it means. So it's the development and training of the human spirit or the human heart through feeding and exercising on the Word of God. That's spiritual growth. It means the development of your inner man, of your spirit. So once you get born again, you're a baby. If you're 45 years old, you're a baby Christian. The day you got born again at 45 years old, you're a baby. Wah, wah, wah. You know, you could be 60 years old and you got born again, you're a baby Christian. You have to develop. It doesn't matter, like, you know, I don't know, Miss Pearson, how old, I mean, I don't know, ask you how old you are, but you've been a Christian for a long time. Like, in fact, we saw a picture of you. You actually look younger than my wife. My wife said, she looks a whole lot younger than me. I've known you for a long time. To me, you never seem to be any different. Because I've been growing with her, right? Ever look at yourself in the mirror and see how much growth you've been having? Right? We all have been growing different in different ways. But so in spiritual growth, a person is able to follow God's plan without compromising the important truths of God's Word. Does that make sense? You know, somebody looking at me like this. When you're batting your eyes, it means you don't understand. But if you look like this, that is really, Max is like this. Really? You know I'm kidding, right, Max? Okay, you're over there too. Somebody looking at me, I don't know if you're awake or not, but look like you're awake. Anyway, so in spiritual growth, a person is able to follow God's plan without compromise, without compromising truth of God's word. You know, you don't bend truth to make it fit you. You follow the truth. If it says don't cheat on income tax, is income tax coming to, you know, because you want extra money. So you stay within the plan of God. So spiritual growth is training and developing the born-again spirit. So how do we find out if we need to grow? So we have to take stock and figure out, okay, so I don't know if I need to grow. So we can clearly see scriptures and carefully study the scriptures. We can look closely at the word and examine the scriptures for ourselves and see the necessity of our spiritual growth and determine our own, what we need to develop in. Here's some questions for evaluation. How often do you read the Bible? Always, sometimes, never. Or only in a time of crisis. You know, some people, they don't read the Bible only when they have a hard time. There's some people, they don't study healing until they're critically sick. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to build the man on the inside about healing before he ever gets sick. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said the foundation, you can hear the scripture, like you could be in this church and hear me preach something or hear anybody preach something, hear the word of God, and you walk out and don't do anything with it. And when the crisis comes, you will be decimated or you'll be destroyed almost. But the man who goes out, or woman of God who goes out, and he hears something and applies that word and begins to feed on it some more, he will not be disappointed when bad news happens or something happens in their lives. Because you're strong. So a marathon runner, he doesn't train the day before he runs a 20-mile race. A boxer doesn't go in a ring the day before. He trains for a long time before he does something. What makes us think that it's different when it comes to spiritual growth or spiritual matters? If you want to have a strong spirit, you got to put that word in you. You got to read the word, meditate on it, think about it, chew on it every day. You know what meditating the word means, right? Meditating is not some spiritual thing that you just stand there and go, That's what we think sometimes. That's what I think. When I thought about, because they spoiled that word for me back there. I still have to fight with it. But meditation, or meditating the word, is just simply thinking about that scripture all day long, all night long, talking to yourself about that, reading that scripture. Like I wake up in the nighttime, I woke up like, maybe 2-3 times last night, and I started quoting a scripture in an area that I've been struggling with in the physical realm. So I begin to look at Matthew 8:17. Verse 16, the last part of verse 16 of Matthew chapter 8, says that it might be fulfilled, and it says there, and he healed all that were sick. Verse 16 says. Then the end of verse 17 carries on, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So I began to think about that. I was thinking about that. Or if I'm thinking about, you know, the biggest thing that you all need to work on is learning how to not to be stressed out. Everybody in here. And you need to learn how to never be afraid. Psalm 23 says, I will not be afraid. So you have to promise yourself, no matter what happens, I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because verse 1 says, Jesus is my shepherd to lead, to guide, and feed me. So you have to go to your scripture. If you're going to grow, I'm talking about spiritual growth, see? See, you have to purpose to do this. If you say you want healing, you never think about scriptures, you never read scripture, you don't read books on scripture, you never listen to a program, you don't go to the internet yourself and find a good teacher that you're familiar with, that you feel safe with, and hear that, listen to it, and not just at one time, but hear it again. There's some messages. I'll get maybe a man of God that I admire, that I know, that I trust, and he might have 16 messages on one topic. I'll listen to them, but there might be one session that speaks to me more than anything else. So I listen to that maybe 5 times, maybe 6 times, maybe 7 times, maybe every time I go to the gym. Instead of listening to AC/DC or ABBA, instead of listening to that, I'll listen to Keith Moore on how to build a strong spirit. I'm working in the gym. I'm listening to Keith Moore. And sometimes I'm listening to different things. I'm laughing away. People looking at me. You know? Sometimes things happen and you laugh, right? So you have to take time to develop your spirit. So I'm encouraging you not to drift away. So this is just an introduction of the introduction that I've just given you about spiritual growth. I'm going to give you another scripture or another question. What kind of time, secondly, what kind of time do you devote to spiritual activities like helping and serving, going to church, praying for other people on your own time, when you're alone, praying, or you compare that to physical and social things? Do you spend more time on the internet or on your Facebook just kind of looking at junk? Or are you going to this for spiritual reasons? How often do you attend corporate gatherings like special conferences, workshops, or weekly church activity? Is that consistent or is that some kind of a hit and miss? You come whenever is available. If you're the kind of person like you come only to church when it's convenient for you, there's a problem. Why is it that what you're doing always interferes with your intention to go to church on Sunday? If you don't block that off, something will take it. And I know because I've gone to university, different things, so I've always said, you know, I can't, I'm not going to do this. I'll take another course. I'm not going to be away on Wednesday. I want Wednesday off here. I'll take an early morning. I take an 8:30 class instead of spending my evening session or whatever it is I do. So the Bible says, seek ye first. I applied that scripture, Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Was it Matthew 6, 33? You know, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your mind, feelings. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, including school, including your activities of social life, your best friend. Put God first. And God will make things work out for you. And if it's not working out for you, it's because you didn't put God first. If you put Him first, guarantee it'll fall into place. Now, there are some people that will only want to pray when they have trouble. You got to want to pray every day. Like Benny Hinn used to say, ladies and gentlemen, well, how does it go now? I can't kick into that Benny Hinn thing. But he says that prayer is like breathing. Never, never, never. So it's like, you know, prayer, you know, it's important to pray because that's important. That keeps you contacted with God every day. Like, you know, people ask me, when you pray? I pray all the time. all the time. I don't never stop praying. I pray every day, all day long, all night long. Sometimes in my bed, I'm praying to God. And you know, if you have a healthy prayer life, you'll have a hard time sinning. You can't be, if you're a single woman, a man, can't be in a compromising position somewhere in the dark somewhere with a man praying in tongues. Shakala maga sabha, let me kiss your lips. Huh? You can't be in a compromising position if you pray. If you pray and you talk to God, God will speak to you about things that you shouldn't be doing. And if you got your mind on God, it's great. Praise God. We got to close this thing. Okay, let's stand up. Stand up on your toes. People always say, stand up on your feet. I always think, what else am I going to stand on? It's kind of redundant, isn't it? You say, everybody please stand. Stand up on your feet, please. What are you going to say? Stand up on your hands? Anyway, we're not going to drift away. We're not going to let spirituality drift away. This year, we're going to make spirituality a priority. Not just your social life, not just your physical life, not just your eating. People always make it a thing, you know. I tell you, what are we going to eat this week? We'll make a plan. I got some coupons. Right? I've saved a few bucks. Wait a minute, I got this money in my shoe back there. Joe gave me a little, gave me some kind of thing there. He gave me a card to go eat. And I ate, man. Was that Tony Romas? You know I love Tony Romas. I'll tell you what to eat at Tony Romas. We're going off the chicken thing. We're gonna go to ribs now. Okay? So, anyway, praise God. We did this for years in this church, and we've repented. Every Wednesday, we were at the chicken house. We call it the chicken house because I forgot what the name was. It was Applebee's, so we called it the chicken house. And every place that was that served chicken was a chicken house. So we went there, and we were growing large ministries then, right? We were growing bigger and bigger. Clothes, people started complaining. I can't bend over. When I can't turn over at night, I need my wife to help me to turn over at night. I feel like a beach whale. Tie my shoes up. We need people to help us tie our shoes up. Pastor Ken, he's pulling in his stomach. But you know what? We better follow Max because Max is slim, man. I saw his ankles. He was sitting like this at the... Okay, let's get spiritual, eh? How could you get spiritual like that, eh? Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you tonight for spiritual growth. We'll not let that slip. We're not going to drift away. We're going to make a priority right now in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we just turn our spirits, our minds, our will, our lives over to you. And we make a rededication as a corporate church, as individuals. We make a rededication to you, Lord. We say, Lord, listen, forgive me. Forgive me for sinning. Forgive me for neglecting you. I'm going to make a decision right now to change that. And tonight, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do that thing which I said I was going to do. I'm going to get to that conference. I'm going to find a Christian friend. I'm going to pray with people. I'm going to do different things that are spiritual. I'm going to read things that will inspire me to be spiritual. So I want to thank you, Lord, for that. So thank you today. Everybody say, thank God that I'm a growing person. I'm determining to hear from God more often. I'm going to pray and read my Bible. I'm going to fellowship with other believers. I'm going to do spiritual things. I'm going to exercise my spirit. I'm going to release my faith. I'm going to talk more about Jesus. Keep the Word of God on my mind. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for that cloth over here. I'm going to pray for this. Everybody, release your faith with me, because the Bible says you can transfer the anointing on cloth and take it to someone and they'll be released. We've had a guy who had a cancer, dying of cancer. So we prayed over that cloth, took that person that was dying, I think it was fifth stage of cancer, cancer free. Amen. Thank God. I mean, my wife was telling me here, we're too intellectual when it comes to spiritual things. You say, oh, how could that ever work? God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You say, well, how does that work? I flew to Toronto. I don't know how that heavy plane went through the sky, but it worked. Say, how did that work? Well, it works. See, this will work. In the name of Jesus, stretch your head. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for this son. In the name of Jesus, that the power, we break the power of the devil, power of the influence that's gotten a hold of this man's mind. And we break the power of the devil and all the influences. In the name of Jesus, we call this man free. Free. In the name of Jesus, we see the end result. The anointing, the power of God breaks the yoke of bondage. Spirit of bondage, leave. In Jesus' name, we cover this man with the blood of Jesus. We claim him back to the kingdom of God. We command the devil to leave him alone and bring back his spirituality to where it's supposed to be. Send forth people that will influence this person to come back to you, Lord. We thank you this in advance. In the name of Jesus, give him a hunger and a thirst. Give him no rest until he makes a decision to make that decision as the finality. In Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, good night, folks.